Let's go to John 6. I want to talk about what are, as believers, two things. What does the path look like, and what does that path mean? Guess what is a believer's goal, if you will. So, he's at Capernaum, and this is where he first fed this large group of people with nothing, and then said, let's just start in 26. Jesus answered him and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat or food which perisheth, but for that meat or food which endureth unto everlasting life, for which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Now, two things. Well, there's probably more than that in that brief. But what does it mean, "For him hath God the Father sealed"? Anybody have any thoughts on that?
Finish.
It's a good one.
It's completed.
Hmm?
So the work is completed.
Well, he completed his work. So, his work is sealed. That means it's finished. He spoke prophetically there because he hadn't yet gone to the cross. He had started doing a few miracles. He fed a huge number of people. And then some of them wanted to become believers, or tried to become believers, when he fed them. And that's why he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," again in verse 26, "you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." In other words, some of your own needs were met, the physical needs. And so your way with him then is the physical needs will be met. And he said, "Don't follow me for that reason." You can't follow him for that reason. Because you will be following him, but still with the I motive. What does this benefit me? Anybody understand? So labor not for the meat which perisheth, or the food, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Now the meat or food that never perisheth is what? It's the flesh, his flesh and his blood. There's all kinds of mysticism about that, but it has nothing to do with mysticism. So then we go. Then they said unto him, "What then shall we do, that we might work the works of God?" And now comes the famous. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him who he hath sent." They said therefore unto him, "What sign showest thou that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. Everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught, all shall be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath heard, learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat or food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. The living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. So he that eateth me shall even live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now, that then is the purpose, the end result of a believer. It was so strong, so outlandish, so... And here he had all these guys that wanted to come and believe on him because he fed them. Bread. Then looks what happens. Start in verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? You can imagine the sadness in that statement. Will you also go away? 5,000 possible disciples just left me. Will you also go away? And that's the question he's continually asking us. Will you also go away? some reason that just hit me. Anybody have any response to anything we've just studied or looked at?
Yeah, we've talked a long time about if something's repeated in the scripture, then we should pay attention. Just noticed about how many times Jesus talked about
He is the bread of life.
He himself being the bread of life. Yeah. Yeah,
anybody else?
Yeah, I saw the labor and the work is believing.
That's all. That's it.
Yeah.
And we have a bowl of food and we eat it, but spiritually eating is believing. And we eat by our belief. We believe, and that's eating his flesh and drinking his blood. It's not a physical act, it's a spiritual act.
Well, it's more than it's that, but it's much more. It's coming to the point where you only get sustenance or satisfaction or worth. And you rely only on him. That's the end for a disciple. You get sustenance and satisfaction. That's what you eat. You get worth from what you drink. And so the idea that your only sustenance and satisfaction comes from him. And that's why every time I drink a cup of coffee even, or drink a glass of water, or any solid food, even those little protein balls that Miss Lisa got me. Now it's automatic. I say, blessed art thou, Lord our God, at the end, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Bringeth forth bread from the earth. And I see what this means. It means he's bringing forth the revelation of Christ in me as an earthen vessel. And every time I drink anything, water, wine, chocolate milk, it's blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who produces or makes the fruit of the vine. And that's our only worth. And so we're gaining sustenance and satisfaction from anything else, our worth from anything else, then you're in trouble. Because that, your mind has still not been renewed.
I was carrying this on to where it talks about every man shall be judged of his works to judgment day. So it's not what you do in the life, it's what you believe about him is what you're judged by, which is your works, not the feeding the poor or whatever good deeds you might physically end up doing. But your works are believing on him. That's good to be judged by that.
But what does it mean to believe on him? That's the next part of this question.
Because you obey his commands.
You obey it, but you do it not because he told you to. You do it because of love.
Does it start out because of fear?
Sure. Everything should start out because of fear. The most fearful thing in the world is to live by faith alone.
Love overcomes that in the process.
Well, let me ask you honestly, do you get sustenance and satisfaction only from the blood and the flesh of him? Or are you still gaining sustenance and satisfaction from anything in the world? And that's the test of that, is if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because you love something in the world, and that shows that you didn't really believe. To believe is to rely 100% on him. Never again leaning on your own arm of understanding. And that's what really is talked about in Romans 12. So let's go there a minute. Let's start in verse 11, chapter 11. Verse 33, all the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and up to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. And then that leads into, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, your reasonable service, the highest that reason can take you. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, transfigured by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And you do that by the renewal of the mind. And the renewal of the mind comes from gaining sustenance and satisfaction from only his flesh and his blood and worth. And so we find out that believe is not a mental action. Believe is the physicality of your being, living by faith alone. None of us, I'm not there yet, but I know that's the goal. Be ye transformed, be not conformed to this world in any way. There's nothing that you do or like that the world likes. Remember, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination unto God. Remember all the stuff in the golden cup. That's the whore's cup. It has everything that man wants in that cup. If you want anything that man wants, then you're still drinking of that cup of the whore. And so there must become a day in which you see that not you, the world is crucified unto you, but you are crucified unto the world, hopefully, but is the world crucified unto you? And that means there's nothing about you that is attractive to anyone in the world, except someone that the Father has called. So this is he's begging us, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? It tells us, holy, which is holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not you've done that by being not conformed to the world. But you've been transformed or transfigured by the renewing of your mind. And this is the biggie, that you may prove or put to the test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is Jesus Christ alone. And you've lived it by being crucified unto the world, because your mind has been renewed. And there's nothing about you that anyone likes in the world. This is now why we're starting to believe how you'll be hated of all men. This is sobering, because it costs you everything. But we believe on him who he has sent. Believe there is total reliance and reliance on nothing else. You can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is anything you have rely on. And think of the thousands of things you've learned to rely on. All that has to be gone. So you rely on him because you believe on him who he has sent. That's what it means to believe on him who he has sent. It's total reliance. Being crucified unto the world. Having your mind renewed. And it's something we must do. You can only do it by repentance. Just think of all the Jews that ran to him. And so they wanted to believe. And then he said, "Get me behind me. You of your father the devil." Because they wanted to believe intellectually, but they still acted as though they didn't. So this is the same goal as Jesus. He finished the way. Now we are to go the same. That's why it says, "He finished the test." And you be trapped. Let's go. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And the proof there is being put to the test. So he saw the vanity of the world. When he saw the vanity of the world, then what? Then he was buried. The Son of Man, he was buried. Boom. Including the Son of Man's mind, he was buried. And then he rose as the Son of God. And then Satan just goes crazy trying to trick him into not being totally dependent on God alone. And that's what he's doing in you. But Satan is destroyed. His minions are still here. And his minions are the human race. The human mind. Always trying to trick you into believing what he believes. That's why we've always been a vessel for deity. You've never been an independent identity. But you've been the deity according to the course of this world, which is the evil one. The evil one's defeated. But all of his minions are still alive, and they're called the human race. And that's why this mystery of being transformed by the renewing of your mind is so critical. And it comes from confession. It comes from confessing, "Well, I still want to do this, or I still want to do that. I still gain sustenance from this, or I still gain sustenance from that." It comes, and that's why Seder groups are for this open confession of these issues. To understand finally what believing on him who he has sent really means. It's 100% reliance on him without ever returning to your own arm of understanding. That's a goal. And that's because, again, that life which is Christ came down on all men on the Feast of Pentecost. And then because all men failed, all men died on the cross. And so only the evil one is still alive. And that's our mind. That's why we each individually are the instead of Christ, the Antichrist. And the only way the Antichrist loses his power is when you stop relying on it. It's emotional, it's intellectual, it's the whole nine yards that your mind does. Until you rely on him alone, because you've been transformed and are being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. You cast down every imagination and every idea and thing about your life. You cast it down. That's the goal. If you can't do that now, that's fine. You're on the way. But that's the end. If you don't understand it now, that's okay. But don't think anything else is the end. That's what it means to believe on him who he has sent. 100% reliance and an abandonment of every other way of living. That's the goal. That's everything. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's how you present yourself as the living sacrifice. Because the only sacrifice that's acceptable unto God is Jesus Christ. Not Jesus Christ mixed with you, but Jesus Christ alone. Then we offer the living sacrifice. And we are transfigured by the renewing of our mind. And the renewing of your mind comes from repentance. And repentance alone. Because repentance releases the power of God. You may have to come to repentance 1,000 times a day, but don't be satisfied with anything less than full. The full goal. This is the work of God. Believe on him who he has sent. 100% reliance on him alone and nothing else. Seeing everything else as vain and empty and worthless. A puff of smoke. Amen? I'm not there. But I strive toward that mark with everything in me. Because my mind still tries to trick me. That's its job. So that you then finally will be with him and enduring his temptations, not yours. The key, obviously, the key to everything here is to believe on him who you sent. Again, if you think believe is just a mental assent, then you're wrong. Believing covers every muscle and nerve and fiber in your being. Take it, big guy.